2023, and we are here at the Bailey House Museum in Wailuku, and I have the privilege of sitting down with our guest in front of us today, and I will let you introduce yourself.
I am Joyce Kawahara. I am 79 years old. I was born in on Maui, but in Pa'ia, which was Pa'ia Hospital, which is no longer there. And I was raised right here in Wailuku all the time. I went to Wailuku Elementary School, went to Yale School, and I went to Baldwin High School. In fact, Dean's mother and I are classmates. So, and yes, I did teach for 46 years. I started at Baldwin High School in 1973, and I retired from Kapolei School in 2017.
Wow.
And I will admit to you, Dean, right now, at that time, I wasn't ready. I was very, very sad. I was very, very depressed. But along came COVID, and that was, you know, it was meant to be.
Yeah.
And I gradually accepted my retirement.
Yeah.
And now I Uber drive my grandchildren after school.
Tutu K, I think you
yes.
said you referred to yourself as Tutu K or Mrs. K. So thankful for, you know, all your years in education. And I'll admit, I think a lot of people know, but you were my fourth grade teacher. And I want to just say right off the top for the record, you know, I'm as nervous now as being 47 years old as being 9 years old sitting across and speaking to my fourth grade teacher. But so please excuse me if I'm a little tongue-tied or seem a little nervous. It's because I am. But yeah, Mrs. K, I think there's so many things I want to ask you and talk to you about, but I think you covered some of it already, where you're from, growing up in Wailuku, teaching at Baldwin, but that time teaching at Kahului School.
That was from 1982, when I came from Makawao School, and because I had taught earlier at Maui High School under Principal Howard Umuru. He was vice principal at Maui High School, but when he took the principalship at Kapolei School, he called and said, "Do you want to, you know, come down?" And for me, that was ideal because my children were going to school in Wailuku and at Baldwin, so I said, "Sure." So in 1982, I moved down, and I started out actually as a sixth grade teacher. Yeah, and I really enjoyed being a sixth grade teacher, but then the plan was eventually Kapolei School would give up 6, 7, and 8 once Maui Waena was built, and so I didn't want to move. I was going to stay there. Although I really enjoyed sixth grade, we didn't have cheerleading, so I started a cheerleading group, and they needed a girls' track coach for sixth grade, and didn't know anything about it, but I volunteered, and but basically, you know, that's. And then when Mrs. Matsuda retired from Kapolei School, she was the one who took over the May Day. And I jumped in. I didn't know what I was going to get myself into, but then I did that until I retired.
That's right. I had forgotten that you were the cheerleading and track coach as well.
Yeah. Mr. Yap says, you know, he's the principal right now at Maui High School. Are you ready to jump in again? And I said, no, because he was teaching eighth grade. And he's, you know, we need you. But that meant making bento for the coaches and, you know, making sure all my girls were, you know, there with all their equipment. We didn't have pom-poms. We, you know, eventually got pom-poms. And we needed the megaphone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they looked for the old megaphone. And we found it, you know. And so we fixed it all up and, you know, spray paint and fixed it. And we got ourselves ready for the track meet, you know. No regrets.
No regrets. Just a follow-up question. What was your interest? Were you yourself a cheerleader growing up?
No.
So it's just because that you felt there was a need to have a cheerleading program, so you stepped forward?
Oh, yeah. I didn't run track. I didn't do any of these things, you know. But I wanted that for my kids.
Wow.
You know, and that was the thing. Anything that was within reason. And if I could do it, you know, we're going to go for it. I can remember, too, you know, jumping it way ahead. We, when the plantation HCNS closed, and a lot, you know, Kahului School is basically, mm-hmm. you know, plantation workers' mm-hmm. children. And we were supposed to go on an excursion. But this was an excursion to Lahaina to see a play. And a lot of the kids came back and I can't go, can't afford it. And they said, no, we're going. And so put on my thinking cap. And I can do this. I know I can. I will. Not maybe or if. So I did. I wrote a letter and asking AMB, you know, if they would, you know, support my children to take them, you know, bus fare, because I want to take them, because many of them, their parents were, you know, former workers and whatnot. And lo and behold, I was given this check. What? And the kid, so the next day, of course, we sent out all the, you know, permission slips to go. And the kids were like, who, what, when, what, you know, how did you get that? But it's just that if my kids need or, you know, the need is there, and if I can do something about it, I will. All they can tell me is, no, it can't.
That's incredible.
No, so, you know, it's things like that. It's like, you know, all I can do is try. And that's what I tell my kids. Enough. All you can do is try, please. Look at you.
No, and I was going to say, I remember that same sentiment of that attitude and taking that, not just for, you're saying, like, for cheerleading or track, but I vividly recall you having that same attitude in the classroom and telling us those things. And you know, in all honesty, I didn't get it during the fourth grade. As I got older, I realized, and as I went through high school and through college and now in my working career, I reflect and I see so much of what you did, Mrs. K, and you know, what you did for us. And on that, you know, same note, I mean, 46 years of teaching, you've influenced so many people. I mean, we were talking a little earlier, everything from senators to fire chiefs, firemen, police officers, these people who are now the leaders of our community. And it's all comes back to, you know, influence you have had upon us, our community.
Tell them about yours. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I'm not sure which one.
The baseball card that was on the bulletin board.
Oh, you tell it better.
Well, in my classroom, you remember, I had my bulletin boards decorated, and there was always, on one side of the room was live to learn. And on the other side of the room was learn to live. And you saw this card and, you know, it was like decoration. And it goes, you asked me, can I have this card? And I told you, sure. You asked me, you sure? I said, you can earn it, you know? And what do I have to do? I said, just be on honor roll. That's all? And I said, yeah. And so the next semester, you were on honor roll. And you said, do I get this card? I said, yes, you may. And what did you say? You said, do you know how much this card is worth? Till today, I can still hear. And I said, no, I have no idea, and I don't even know who he is. But every time I see a baseball card, I think of Jose Canseco, you know, and he, you know, and he said, are you sure I can? And I said, keep it up, you know, it's only for you, not for me. And that's the kind of things that, you know, I think it's all about. You know? That's why I enjoyed being there. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't ready after 46 years to say goodbye. My family is, you know, knew I wasn't ready. But as I said, COVID came about, so I had to accept that it was a sign that I was, you know, supposed to be leaving. I still see, you know, like my grandchildren always say when they come to visit, Tutu, why is it that we can't go shopping, or we can't go in Long's or Foodland or Safeway, and at least 10 people will say, hi, Tutu K, or hi, Mrs. K. And I said, I can't help it, you know, but it's true.
Yeah. You know? It's the influence you've had upon everyone. I mean, you're incredible.
Being the meanest teacher.
So to back up a little bit to your story about the baseball card, and I just want to preface it with, it taught me a lot of lessons. And again, maybe I don't know if I understood at the time, but I have definitely reflected and seen what you've taught and what you've instilled. But I also want to say, it's what I realized it taught me, because I was not an honor roll student, obviously, and that's why you're incentivizing me.
No, that's you. And no, that's where you're wrong. I will tell you right now, you were wrong. You are, and you will be. That's the reason why you're doing what you're doing now, because you had it in you way back then. And I don't know if you remember the day you got your diploma at University of Hawaii Hilo campus. You got off the plane, you took your parents home, and you came back to school, and you came running into H1, stood at the door, and you said, I did it. You showed me your diploma, and the rest of the children were so impressed. Why is he showing that? And I said, because he did it for himself. The kids who were in that classroom, Dean, were so amazed and so impressed that you would get off the plane and come to the door to say that.
Oh, yeah.
But you had doubts. But I looked at you and I knew if you could get to honor roll with just that one baseball card, you could do anything. Even like you're doing now with your Kahoa Lawe project. You and Lopaka work so hard to help restore that. People will never understand until they see what is being done. And then they can help.
Oh, Mrs. K, getting me
I told you.
Choked up here, but yeah, no, and those are just some of the few instances of, you know, what heavy impact you've had on, obviously myself, but every student for the last 46 years of teaching. But one other thing is, I remember that day I came back to your classroom, diploma, and I was so proud. And but I remember you also saying right after I showed you the poem, you said, in front of the class, you said, "See, Johnny, if he can graduate, you can too."
Exactly. Because, like he said, the sky is the limit.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You determined that, and you did it.
Oh.
Same thing with Lapaka.
Oh.
Same thing. The quiet gentleman. Mm-mm. No. Maybe around certain people. But not with me.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that.
Right. Yeah.
Reedy Boy. Corey. Takamura. They still, you know, Mama. And I said, remember now. Respect. Even at the baseball game, you know, same thing. And so the other kids, you know, how come he calls you Mama? Because that's what it was.
Yeah. That's incredible. Now he is, you know, a coaching, you know, somewhat teaching, like you could say that, you know, he's a pillar of the community as well. And it's all standing upon foundation you have laid. I mean, whether it be, like you said, the Takamura brothers, or we were talking a little earlier about Assistant Fire Chief Fujioka and some of the stories you say. But yeah, that's the influence you've had. And I guess you're touching upon it now, but just to reconfirm. But yeah, so like, what are some of these other highlights? Like, maybe not specific stories, but what are highlights you have of your teaching years? Whether, you know, Kalui School, I didn't know you were at Makawao. Boy, but like, what are the highlights when you look back at your 46 years of teaching? What are the medals you hold close to your heart?
Every single day was valuable. Every single day I had learned something. Yeah. Because a man in my life always said, as you sow, S-O-W, so shall you reap. And that's exactly what I have had with my children. And you can tell me you're 47 years old, but you're still my child in fourth grade.
Yeah. I feel like it at times. When I see you at the market or that,
yes.
I feel...
Yes, like the other day when I saw you at the market, you know?
Yeah.
And with your daughter, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And people would say, why can't you forget it, you know? And like a year or two ago, I was driving through the Yellow School, you know, drive-through to pick up during the summer to pick up the lunch for my two grandchildren. And the person who was passing out the lunch with the milk, like, oh my. And so then everybody stopped, and so did the security. And he goes, no, it's not like that. And so she's my teacher. He goes, so the security said, what? And he goes, yeah, she was my sixth grade teacher. And he's now the cafeteria manager of Baldwin High School, but he was cooking at EL School for the summer.
Rito Uchi.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is what I'm saying.
Your memory is incredible.
No.
To remember all those things to have, and I guess maybe what it is like, you have such an emotional connection to all these individuals and these stories, and that's why your memory of it's so incredible.
Well, that's because it's a love that money can't buy. You can't purchase that. You just can't. When I did the dropout program, you know, at Baldwin High School, we were situated, but we were in the concert hut way up at the top of the field where the kids practice. And my boss was Mr. Glenn Ora. But I was with the Department of Education. But I was also funded by the federal government, and the children who are sort of like not awarded, but, you know, given to me to try and place into a work situation so that they could get credit in their classroom. And so many of the kids, I don't want this. And I said, why not? Because it's not going to help me. I said, really? Can you tell me why? And so, you know, one of the kids, and it wasn't only public schools. It had to do with all schools, even private schools. So, and then they looked at me and they said, you know, because there's nothing to be had. I said, oh, really? How do you think I got to this job? Nobody just gave it to me. So you gotta earn it. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, let's make a deal. You give me 4 weeks and let's see where you, you know, and you can give up if you want to. So what interest are you? Oh, I want mechanics. Fine. Yale School still had the armory. Uh-huh. It didn't have. So I went there and I asked, you know, would you be willing to have any of the high school kids come, you know, and learn auto mechanics from them, and so that they could learn, get high school credits for it, you know, like, say, social studies or whatever it may be. And it, as it turned out, it was like, we were supposed to start with like 70-something kids. And now this is not only Maui now. Molokai, Lanai, Hana to Lahaina.
Wow.
And instead of 70-something kids, we ended up with 170-something kids.
Wow.
Because once the kids found out about it, okay, I want to participate. Because they got outfitted with work shoes, socks, you know, clothing, protective clothing and everything. That was all paid for.
Incredible.
And so, like, I had to, you know, write the program, and the only thing that I didn't really appreciate, and my husband will attest to that, is when I had to fly to Molokai and to Lanai. Okay? The reason is we had to fly on that Royal Hawaiian, the prop plane. And if they didn't have anybody to help the pilot, you had to be the co-pilot. Yeah. So you had to help by opening the windows so that the cabin could be
positive airflow.
Yeah, and then air pressure would be the same. And then close it. And I would do that with my, holding on to my binder, close my eyes, and I would do that. And every time I came back from Molokai or Lanai, I would just hold this thing. And the first time I did it from Lanai, I just cried and cried and cried, because I had never flown out of Lanai. And when you come to the runway of Lanai, it's just a cliff. And as we were coming back on my first trip, the pilot goes, oh, look, there's some whales. And he made it, you know, flip over. And I just held on to my briefcase. And but those are experiences that nobody else can ever. But Mr. Oris, he says, we survived, didn't we? Every time he sees me, you know, he's, and I said, yes, Uncle Glenn, we did. And he even said, you don't have to go to Hana, you know, because if we went to Hana, I would have to leave at 3:00 in the morning to get to Hana High School to, you know, interview the kids. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to fly. And so he volunteered. He said he would go for me to do the, you know, interview and everything. But I went to Lahaina and I talked to Mr. Kawaguchi and all these people, you know, and it's amazing. But see, that's what teaching, you know, offers you if you're if you want to be with kids.
Yeah.
And I wanted to.
Wow. And, you know, Dutch, I have actually a follow-up question also, but thinking about, again, what incredible influence and, you know, support of a community you've created, supporters of and created. Who are some of your influences? You had touched upon it earlier. A gentleman had said that, you know, what you sow is, you know,
so shall you reap.
So shall you reap. Who was that? Or if you can't share, if not, but who are some of the other influences that created Mrs. K that then had so much influence upon all of us?
My dad, Mr. Douglas Sodetani. He was a gentleman that, I mean, like he grew up in Wailuku. Like he always told us, you know, I didn't have shoes until I went to sixth grade. I went to school barefoot. And my children is like, no way, Papa. But, and he used to caddy. And one of the people that he caddied for was Mr. Lau, who was a sixth grade teacher at Yale School, who became my sixth grade teacher. And again, you know, he says, oh yeah, I know your dad very well. So it was, you know, like I said, people like that that helped me, you know, to do what I do now.
Yeah, I never met your father, but just by name, he's noted throughout Maui County. I mean, and again, Maui being as small and tight-knit as we are, your dad had a large influence upon my grandfather.
Yes.
Getting, purchasing, being able to purchase his home, the home that my mom grew up in. And I got to spend a lot of time with my grandparents in, so.
Because they were classmates, you know, because they rode the train up from Wailuku, you know, along Lower Beach Road, all the way to H. Poco to go to school and Maui High. And, you know, that was the time and everything.
Yeah.
So, but very vivid memories. And I'm thankful that while he was here, you know, he shared it with us so that we could understand and always, you know, make sure that we gave back, you know, not take, but make sure you give, you know, so that, you know, others can, you know, see what's necessary to be done, like you folks do now. You know, you give in your project for the whole of it, because you know that, you know, it needs to be done. Yeah. And by doing that, you hope others will see the value of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, you know, just building upon everything generations that come before. Any other influences you'd like to cite aside from your dad that have, you know, created this, your incredible philosophy of just the ability or need to give and to perpetuate? What were some teaching influences or educational influences?
Well, basically, you know, I think that was my foundation. But throughout my teaching life, my husband, Hideo Kawa, he was, you know, he always supported me no matter what, you know. He might have had questions, but he would, you know, refrain from, you know, but he always supported what I was trying to do and what I wanted to do, in the sense, like, take May Day. Did it for 18 years, and we would go sometimes all the way to Haiku to get fern, you know, palapalai, to make the haku for the court, or we would go all the way into Ia Valley or Waikapu Valley, and a good friend's husband who worked for Wailuku Sugar would get us permission to get, you know, the tea leaf, you know, as long as you don't destroy the tea leaf, you know, you leave it better than what you, then we did that. And so, you know, doing things like that so that you could, again, perpetuate the the giving. So he's always been by my side. He, I mean, sometimes, yes, he's like, but he always, you know, he doesn't say, you know, don't do it.
Always supportive. You know,
he's always been supportive. And the girls have always said, Mom, you sure? And did Dad approve? And he said, Dad has no say on it. Oh, really? But it's, you know, in the end, it's, that's how I've been able to do a lot of things. Thanks. You don't, you won't believe where I started in 1966 when I taught. I taught at 116th Street School in Los Angeles.
Oh, LA.
Do you know where 116th Street?
I do not.
That's right outside of Watts.
Oh.
Right after the Watts Riot.
So on Young, yes. Japanese, you're right out of school.
Yes.
Teaching right outside of Watts. Wow. How
but you know, I had such wonderful, wonderful supervising teachers that helped me. And he trusted me with his couvert to take, you know, and she and her parents, my supervising, her parents would let me park in their, you know, in front of their house, and they would watch the car.
Wow.
All day. And then from there I went down to Town Avenue, which was basically families that were from Hawaii that had moved from Hawaii and, you know, started this. This is, and right now is where Dominguez Hills College is. And but at that time it was just, you know, a thought. It wasn't even on paper yet. Yeah, and so it, and yet when I moved back in 1973, I didn't get any credit for teaching.
Mm-hmm.
I had to start from the bottom. But that didn't stop, you know. I wanted it that badly.
66, you say? I'm not sure if my math's right. 20? 21?
Yeah.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I left Maui in 1962. I went all the way to Nebraska by myself. I flew from Maui to Honolulu, Honolulu to LA, LA to Denver, Denver to Omaha.
What?
Yes. And then from Omaha, I took the bus for 6 hours to get to school.
Was that the first time you had ever left Maui?
No.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why, because I had seen the area in back in 1960. And so after I'd seen, it was either there or someplace in western Nebraska. And so I went to a, you know. And fortunate thing about it is that the dean of students had gone to school at University of Hawaii after his military, you know, after he was done with his military service. And so he was, you know, familiar with Hawaii kids.
So there's some Hawaii connection a little bit right there.
Yeah. But.
Wow. And, well, so I just want to give a quick shout out. So it sounds like Mr. Kawahara, you know, has a lot to do. And we need to also make sure to thank that support that you had to be able to help so many years of students and so many years of teaching as well. So thank you, Mr. Hideo Kawahara. So when traveling, doing all that, did that have an influence also on when you came back home and how you wanted to teach and your style of teaching? And
basically, it helped create that because I didn't know how butter was made, but I did that with my students at Kahului School. You know, we got the whole cream, and I put, everybody put the whole cream in baby food jars, and they shook it. And then pretty soon they got a little ball, you know, and, you know, that was a ball of butter, and everybody got to taste it. That's not how butter tastes. I said, no, you forgot to put the little bit of salt in it. And then they, oh, now I said, now look at the ingredients on the box. But that was, again, teaching them reading styles and learning, you know, how important it is to read the directions and everything. But that was what, same thing with making prunoy. Now, many of my kids will remember that, you know, they had to do demonstrations and everything. In fact, one teacher now at Baldwin High School just told my granddaughter, guess who my fourth grade teacher was? And he says, and I got burned because I didn't listen to her specific instructions. So, you know, it was in that way, I'm glad it was very influential in that sense. I have kids that I see at taekwondo performances and practice, because that granddaughter plays taekwondo, and she says, so-and-so's dad said when he made prunoy in your class, and we had to put it outside in the sun, somebody tried to eat it, so then we put it on the roof, you know, like that. And I said, that's right. But that was, it wasn't the prunoy it was learning how to do measurement and following directions. But that, again, was in a different way.
Yeah, incentivizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, making a connection. And as a student, you think it's all about the prunoy.
Yeah.
Or the Jose Canseco card, or the spam wasabi.
Yes.
But it's actually about the learning that happens
right
before that.
So even my kids, and to today I still do that. You know, the three properties of water, you know, liquid, steam, and solid. Okay. So, and my grandson, I'm still waiting to make my eating a live volcano, because that was the concept of that. So he goes, what do you mean? So I said, think about it. The properties of water. Solid, liquid, steam. So he goes, oh. So the solid is the ice. I said, yeah. But in the live volcano, it's the rocks and minerals. Then he goes, the liquid. Oh, that's the lava, the pog. I said, that's right. So he goes, but where's the steam? I said, that's Tutu's secret. He goes, come on. So then I said, you know when you put the two inside? He goes, huh? He goes, nothing happens, right? When you have the pog and the ice. I said, if you put a scoop of orange sherbet in it, and then you put Sub Canada Dry in it, it starts bubbling in it, and you go, oh, let's do that. And I said, no, you gotta learn it first. And he goes, I did already. You know, I said, no, it's just part of the learning. So basically, my degree in home economics, as well as being an elementary school teacher, you know, I combined the two together to make it into.
I didn't realize you're a home economics
teacher. Yes.
But now it starts to make sense, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I have a secondary education degree as well as an elementary school degree.
Oh, you have a secondary?
Yes.
Wow.
So I'm actually a home economics teacher as well as an art teacher.
Incredible. Wow, I did not know that. So, but it sounds like you're still teaching to this day. It's not, you mentioned you're telling your grandson these things,
yeah.
And your husband. How many years have you been married, you and Mr. Kawahara?
I think 57. Yeah, 57 years.
Is that right, Mr. K? He said it feels only like 25 to him. He said it feels.
He wishes.
So 57 incredible years, and how many children and grandchildren?
We have four daughters.
Four
daughters. One daughter lives here, and three daughters live on the mainland. One is, the oldest is in Los Angeles. She works for the Department of Water and Power. The second one lives here, She works for Munikio and Hiraga. Uh-huh. The third one works, the third and the fourth live in Seattle. The third one works for Seattle Betsuin, which is the Seattle Hongganji Church.
Oh.
And the fourth one works for Boeing. She and her husband work for Boeing.
Wow. For the, how many grandchildren?
Seven. So our oldest, Bryce, is at Boston University.
Wow.
Our second one, Maddie, is at ICU in Tokyo, Japan, at Mikata. And the third one is in Syracuse, New York. And Dean, all these grandchildren, when they were growing up, Papa, we're going, and Tutu, we're going to come and go to school at UH so that we could stay with you and we'll have a car and everything. By junior year, everybody was scattering, you know. And so now the next one, Corina, she's a senior at Cleveland High School. And she says, I don't know where I want to go, but I'll go someplace, you know. I thought you wanted to come to Hawaii. And she goes, I did, but I don't think so now. I said, fine. So then that's Corina. Then Jalen is a sophomore at Baldwin High School. Then Reese is a freshman at Cleveland. And then Kyron is a seventh grader at Yale.
Wow. That's incredible that you could just rattle all that off.
So. Oh, no. It's like they say, Tutu is the one that just keeps, you know, tab of everybody.
Anybody in the family in the field of education? Following your footsteps, possibly? No? They all saw how hard you work.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when they were growing up, they always said, you don't know when there's a weekend. Because they would leave me at school, say at noon on Saturday, and they would come at 5 to pick me up, and I still wouldn't be ready. Sometimes we'd leave at 7, and it was like, it's the weekend, Mother, you know? And I said, yeah, but I still have this and this to do. And like the children, even the grandchildren, when they came, they said, Tutu, we got the beach to go to. I said, you guys can go out. Tutu will stay here and just, you know, come and pick me up. It was like, yes, it was. Yeah. It was my life. I enjoyed it. I have no regrets.
Well, we are all thankful, and I say we all, I mean all of your children. You always refer to us your children, and we.
Oh, because you know why? I always had the label, you know, the meanest teacher on campus, and my kids, you know, when I had yard duty, at, you know, Kahului School, you know, the back campus. The kids would come after school and say, Mrs. K, we heard you all the way at Maui High School. Who were you scolding? And I said, shh, you know. Or if they were practicing, you know, band in the parking lot, and, you know, the kids would, you know, as they would be marching towards facing my room, it was like, oh, let's be extra loud, so she, you know. And I said, you do that. You do that. Go ahead. But, you know, it was just those fond memories.
You know, Mrs. K, I will admit, yes, I you were a strict teacher. And if you were titled the meanest teacher at Kahului School, I can also probably say, though, that you're probably be considered the most loved as well.
Thank you.
The most admired.
Thank you.
So thank you for all you've done, Mrs. K. I mean, 46 years, that's incredible. There's one last thing I just want to add, and I'll ask you if there's anything you want to add, but for me personally, I just wanted to also include in this conversation is, I'm not sure if you know or remember this, but so I'm very fortunate in through Kelly and Maui Public Art Corps to have opportunities to converse like this with people in our community and to record and to, and I love it. I really enjoy it. And even in my job, I'm able to share stories. I get to do public speaking, and it's something I enjoy and I love to do, but I wasn't always so comfortable speaking, and I thought about it previous to this, obviously, but what it comes down to is, I don't know if you remember, but I was also, again, not doing so well in your class. And you told me, Dean, if you want to get your grade up to get this Jose Canseco card, I've already entered you into a speech contest. And I said, no, Mrs. K, I do not. I won't do that. And he said, no, you will. And not only that, this is what you're going to be presenting. And you handed me a book. And it was the Five Chinese Brothers. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah.
And I had to practice that and practice. And my father, also being a speech pathologist, he would work with me on it night after night ad nauseam, I remember. And I just, I don't know why I'm doing this. But I entered the contest.
At Baldwin High School.
Exactly.
Speech
contest.
Yeah. For the juniors. Yes.
And I won. I
four superiors.
Yep. And I remember you gave me the actual book afterwards. You presented me with the book, and I still have somewhere, it's in our story somewhere, but I actually have the book. And I want to thank you again, obviously, not for every and all the influence you've had upon myself and every other student that's come through your doorway for 46 years, but you know what you've instilled upon me, I am so, so grateful for everything, Mrs. K.
Thank you very much. That's all I ask, is that my children be the best that they can be, nothing less. And that's something money can't buy. Money can never purchase that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people can't understand. You know, teachers are the lowest paying jobs, and why do you stay? You don't understand. There is much more than that. You get paid in different ways. And that's how I looked at it.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. K. Thank you, Kelly McHugh White and Maui Public Art Corps, for providing us this incredible opportunity. For me personally, even an incredible opportunity to sit down with my former fourth grade teacher and just express our gratitude, our meaning, all of Maui County and Kahului School.
Well, thank you very much for even taking a chance on me. But I'm not done yet. Where's my bag?
Yes.
Where's my bag? Kelly, you got yours already. You ready?
Yes, ma'am.
It's 1991 or 1990.
Oh, it's hilarious. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Mrs. K. If you can't, obviously you can't see it, but through the recording, Mrs. K has presented me with 1990 baseball cards, Bowman baseball cards, and I hope I can continue to earn these incentives, Mrs. K. Thank you very much.
That is,
I will keep these. Oh,
see, that's what I said. Maybe I do it in a different way, but we all learn together.
Yes.
That's why we live to learn.
Oh my God, that's incredible. Thank you. Words of wisdom. Thank you, Mrs. K. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The conclusion. That was so beautiful. You did it.
I actually had another thing, but I'll just
go for it.
No. I just wanted to. I don't know
where I put it. How long was that? Okay, on timing wise.
Perfect. 49 minutes.
Whoa.
It goes so fast, doesn't it?
There's so many things I feel like we could have elaborated on.
Yes.
Company, but
see,
Pogsville Commons.
Wait, because it's no longer there.
You're right.
I wanted to.
Oh my gosh!
This is his grandfather's service station.
Yeah. I remember. This was 1993. That was all the rage back. Mel covers on it.
Yes.
Cool. But yeah, your family and my family has always been
very
much intertwined.
Because his grandmother worked with my mother for Dr. Harold Kushi.
Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Yeah, she worked in the office, and so they were very, and they were just close because they were classmates too.
Oh. You know? And I knew, your dad, Mr. Solitani, and my grandpa were close as well.
Very close. Yeah. Very close.
Yeah.